Okay.
Log Talk Radio.
Hey man, God bless you guys for joining us here at Harvest Light Church, Harvest Light Studios, about ready to get started here on our actually Word Channel. We got a few people that's going to call it in as always. We kind of pulled the time back just a little bit, not too much, but we want to make sure we get everybody in on this afternoon. As I said before, one of our actually Tuesday night shows, we actually kind of have a problem with some of the international ministries coming in and getting themselves in position, but we want to make sure we lay that time for just breathe that time to give them a little time to come in. As the word begins to go forth and the music kind of solidifies itself, we're going to be using a new microphone. We went off a Shure 54 this afternoon, and we're going to see if it's going to hold up according to one of the other mics we've been using, the X and mixing changes in the studios. But other than that, God bless you guys. It's a really a pleasure for you guys to join me and be a part of my actual Friday night show, which is the word. We was actually held the word off for Thursday night, of course, Thanksgiving, being thankful. And we want to make sure we pick that back up, and we're going to be actually coming through that word as we speak as of right now. But once again, we want to hold off just for a minute and let our international people come in. We want to actually make sure they get into the studio and hear what the word of God has to say this afternoon. It's always a pleasure. We'll be right back with you guys here in just a moment.
Take care of my soul, I can stand.
is in the hands of God. And, that's such an emotional song when you think about that, where we are as Christians. And as we're men and women of God to come forth and we look at, you know, coming through the holidays and, you know, look at all the things that God has blessed us with. And, we focus. It's good to have family, to be around members, and just to be able to hear what the Word of God has to say during the course of time that we actually sit back and enjoy ourselves, eating on the turkeys, whatever we may have, by potato pies or whatever you may be eating on. But we must reflect the fact that it's going to be one day as we look around at our family members, all those who are growing old in age and time, you know, it's going to move out. It's going to really move out. It's going to move out in such a way that we're not going to see them, you know. The Word of God declares everybody's got a destiny with the Maker, you know. And as we look at the holiday seasons and, you know, we get ourselves prepared to, go into more festivities of the holiday, well, let's keep in mind that these days that we have in front of us, These days we have in front of us, it's they're temporal. You know, they're really temporal. You know, we ought to take these times precious and to really enjoy not just the name of Thanksgiving, which it is a day to be thankful, but we want to be able to understand that, you know, those people we're keeping our eyes on, those people we're looking upon, you know, one day they're gonna move on. They're gonna move on. And now we need to enjoy ourselves while the time we're with them. Let's open up with prayer and let's get started. And let's hear what the Word of God has to say before I start to boo-hoo at this. But I want to make sure you guys are with me on this afternoon. We see our international team is coming in. We thank God for them. We thank God for all those who are making this station move in the direction they can move in. God is constantly putting the right things around us in the right way. That even as we move forward, we know that God yet still has his hand around us to move forward and do what he designed us to do. Father God, we thank you. We bless you for this opportunity to come into the land, to be able to speak and declare the word, decree it, and just speak comfortably from your kingdom, anointing, and understand and realize that you're God. Beside you, there's no other. Father God, we ask you to open up the windows on this afternoon, Father God, through the word of God, that even as we begin to speak, Father God, give us revelation, information, and illumination. Transform the word, Father God, that we may hear that what comes from the kingdom of God. And Father God, even as I speak, Father God, I don't speak anything of myself, but I speak that which the kingdom of God has given me to speak, not to my people, but to your people. So I thank you this afternoon, Father God, as we begin to go into the word and as hear what the word of God has to say that's coming from the kingdom of God. These things we speak, not of myself, but the power of the Most High God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. There's something we kind of, you know, I've been looking at some things earlier today, and during the course of the time, you know, I talked about the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatians, where there's actually Galatia, the city, but the people who lived in Galatia was the Galatians. And Paul spoke a very strong word dealing with the process of just pipelining the epistle to the point of letting people know that you can't continue to get away with some of the words of those who are out there that have an ear to want to hear the word of God, and you just randomly run off and give them anything because you want to say you sound good and you can quote some scriptures. When we speak the word of God in the lives of people, we really have to understand that we got to be very careful in how the word of God is moving off of our lips, and we really got to make sure we're led by the Spirit, that even before I come before the mic, I anoint my head with oil. I believe and declare that God, look, don't let me speak any error to your people in such a way that I'll be caught at the fault in a way that I taught something that wasn't right. But when we think about the word, the book of Galatia, and it's a few things that God has been dealing with me on this afternoon. One of the things, before I actually go into the Galatia, and I'm going to go back to Hebrews, we're going to be dealing with that over the Hebrews 12 also. I was on my social network on this afternoon, and just browsing. Usually sometimes I just get on the social network and put out information and I get off, but it's a few things that catch my eye and that caught my eye. Now, one of my classmates, a young lady by the name of Leah Kincaid, she was really sending a wake-up call out to the people about, you know, how we are as men and women of God, and with all the division that's going on in the land, and yet we're not seeing what God is really implementing and bringing forth in the season which we're in. And we talk about the division between the election and these things that are already positioned where they are, and how the Senate begins to be back to the position where they feel they're going to run the Senate, and they're going to run this, they're going to run that. And I tell people, you know, kings come and kings go. In other words, the word of God says, I put kings up and I put kings down. But as one king that never leaves his position, and that's God Almighty. You may have presidents come, you may have presidents go, but I believe in the name of Jesus, and I speak this word, that God knew what he was doing when he put that man of God in place. Now, I do call him a man of God, because the word of God says that he turns the heart of a king as he sees fit. There's not one human born under the sun that God don't have temperate, they don't have control over in everything he's doing with them. Now, we talk about all the gyrations with the election and this and that and what America's headed. America is headed on what God said is headed. It's not based on what we see physically. And the word of God really brings a revelatory word when he said, for the things that are seen are unseen. But when we set before God and we begin to understand and discern the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, we really understand and tap into the illumination, and we'll see things far more greater than what the natural man sees. They predict the future in terms of their politicians and different positions and clubs and titles, but God's got a whole nother plan for where we're headed. Even when we think about in the days of the exile, when we took Nebuchadnezzar, who was, I think, was a king under God's control, because of the rebellion of the people of Judah, God had to bring something to bring them to their knees. And God used that king, that angry king, who built that statue of gold and bronze and silver. He built that thing, and he tried to get the people to worship. But God had to get them to understand. When you read the word over in Daniel 3, it really brings some illustration to what we are right now. Even though the statue was there as a monument, even as a presidency in place, God is still not moved off the throne. You can build all the statues you want. You can pull all the men in position you want. But I'm telling you, God is yet still on the throne. And he turns the heart of every man that he created the way he sees it. And I believe that where we're headed right now is that we're going to have to pray. In the process of praying, we're going to have to really elevate the word of God in such a way that it would stretch out over all the land, that our voice has got to be heard, as it says in the book of Isaiah. We got to lift up our voice like a trumpet, that even though we see the world in chaos and a lot of division taking place, we as men and women of God ought to stand still and believe that we're sent from a higher power and we represent a higher representation. And that is the kingdom of God. When the world has been bombarded, when the world has been divided socially, spiritually, physically, mentally, and racially, we got to understand that we're children of the King's High God. The word of God declares in the book of Galatians, be you Jew, Gentile, Protestant, or Catholic. There's no division in the kingdom of God for those who walk right. The word of God tells us, according to Psalms 84:11, that there's nothing he will hold from those who walk upright. I believe God got a plan to supersede far beyond war that we can imagine if you think of. We're looking at what's going on in the physical. We see all the uproar. And even as I begin to set in my study and begin to pray on today, I thought about the process in the days of Noah, when Noah was actually told to build the ark, and they kind of scoffed him and laughed at him and said, look at that old man down there in the middle of a desert throwing that wood and that tar together. And even as we see the election that's going on right now, Noah was building the ark, but the people scoffed at him. And I'm telling you, man and woman of God, the rain and the bleeding has already started. And I'm telling you, once God continued to move forward with what he's speaking on right now, we're going to see it. The Bible said they was going about having parties. They was going about marrying. They was going being married, having children. But the Bible said it began to rain, and they paid no attention. And if you get the illustration of what Pastor Ellis is telling you right here, it's raining. It's raining. And even in the midst of the flood is coming, we don't see it as of right now. But the shift has already took place. I remember the man of God, Dr. J.C. Matthews, talked about the paradigm shift. One of the scriptures you need, one of the books he wrote was called The Paradigm Shift. And in that particular verse, he talked about how the shift of power is coming from what we call the law of the land over to the children of God. God has got us in the position right now. It's been man and woman of God to represent the king more highly than we ever represented before. We ought not to be in division, fighting and bickering and fighting, chopping at one another. But this is what I'm trying to get to say also as well. When you speak the word of God to somebody, you don't need to try to hammer it in their head. The Bible said you speak the word, and for those who hear, will hear. Matter of fact, Romans 10:17 said that he who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. Matter of fact, in other words, if I can go back and revert that, if I may have a chance to correct that, he says in Romans 10 and 17, if I can look at that again, Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Now, let me help you out a little bit more in the Amplified version about how you as an ear, let me hear what the Spirit has to say. The word of God says in Romans 10 and 17, also in the Amplified, he says, so faith come by hearing what is told. You got to understand what's been told to you, the way it's coming at you. Words that don't bear no fruit cannot bear root. In other words, they don't bear root, they can't bear fruit. Listen how he says in the Amplified version, in the same era of the Amplified version in Luke 10 and 17. So faith comes by hearing, those two holes on the side of your head, and close the one in the middle of your head. What is told and what is heard comes by preaching. The Bible says, how can a preacher be sent? In other words, how can a preacher be sent unless he's called? God's not going to call anything in a season which we're in. He reveals a very strong word in the book of Amos. He said that my word will not enter the land unless it's revealed unto the prophet. And what we call in the area of the prophecy today is what sounds good and what can articulate the word to the point that it's our ears. But God said you got to really examine not yourself, but examine what you're hearing. You got to have pro-listening skills in the season which we're in, because there's a lot of things slipping past us that we're not quite understanding how it needs to go. A typical example. I was with my little nephew today. You know, he's a young man. He was concerned, you know, and I listened at his heart. He said, you know, sometimes when I go in the house of God, I don't know what's right and what's wrong. If I go to another man and he tells me something about the word of God, he pretty much beats the other man down. And this is what we have sometimes. There's no one preacher better than any other preacher. Can I talk to y'all for a second? The word of God tells me, like, if you got a team, and you all move. Let's take the game this weekend. And the Dallas Cowboys and the Redskins, we know they came out victorious, Dallas did. But let's think about the process. If they never would have used everything they needed during the course of the time to move forward, they would have not win. If they disassembled during the course of the time of the game, they probably would have lost. And really, I'm not calling the Redskins devils, but the opposing team was coming against a team of offense that was really striving to win. God has designed us to be winners in everything we do. But what we have to do as being man and woman of God is know how to bring the team together and get the right recruits in place, that when we speak the word, it will move like a viral. It will move like a plague throughout the world. And we got to be all on one accord. I noticed this place down here in the city of Dallas. It's called Bachman Lake. For those who have been in the area of Dallas, and it's a big park, it's a huge lake called Bachman Lake. Well, out there, Bachman Lake is a rowing club. It's a rowing club. Those who have seen these rowing clubs, when everybody's in the boat, you know, SMU, Baylor, every college team has a rowing team. But they come down to this particular area of the lake to practice. And every man in that boat has got the symbol of his paddles, where they got the symbol of their paddles. And once they take off, everybody's got a stroke at one stroke. Anything that's going out of order, once the boat it gets up to speed, It can really hurt the individual, and that's in the boat. I mean, if all the paddles not rotating and hitting the ground at the same time as they row, if his paddle hit opposite, because the way the paddles are made inside the hoops that's on the boat, if it misjudged the water opposite of any other paddle, it can cause a very severe rib injury. The actual pedal would actually spur him in the rib. It caused some very serious things and possibly could cause the whole team to be out of sequence. Well, Pastor, I know you're saying these things, but we want to follow you a little bit more in what God is speaking about here. I talked about the young woman over there in Georgia, Olivia Kincaid. She said something that, we know, we're going and shopping, we're having fun, and da-da-da-da. And I used a sequence about the process of Moses bringing the people up out of Egypt. And they got out there and got rebellious. They failed. We look at the process of Noah building the boat and them building the boat and the people that's supposed to really be looking upon him, and the process of seeing something was up and what's going on. They ignored him. They went on about their everyday business. We look at the process of the disturbance of Jonah going out to Nineveh. He got out there and he decided to get a ferry and go over to Thrasher. All these things carry a symbol as of right now. We really understand. Disobedience carries a heavy consequence. When the word of God is showing us, right before our eyes that he's about to put the world or the earth in bondage because of their disobedience and their rebellion. And how are we as men and women got out of really avoid this bullet? Now, when we talk about in the time that they went into the exile, it wasn't no separation of just the Gentiles or where everybody went in together. And if you look about how you think about the people that was actually in that exile, you look at the three Hebrew boys, you look at Ezekiel, you look at all the great men of God was caught up in that exile, and how one person in the midst of all of the turmoil that's going on can cause a lot of things to happen in the event of them coming out. When they went into the exile and they began to go under the headship of Nebuchadnezzar, he began to think of himself as being a god, and he wanted to create an earthly god. And as he created that earthly god, and he told the very people who represented the real god, which was God, them three Hebrew boys, and he tried to punish them because they didn't bow to that stone god, that gold god, that bronze god. And this is how it is today. You can put people in a position all you want, but if you've been a Christian, you better know who you're representing in the season that you're in. Even though the world is running straight like rabbits running around like the head cut off, you better stand firm, and you better understand what God is telling you in the season that you're in. The Word of God speaks a very prophetic word. I mean, it's a powerful word. And he talks about the gathering of his people. And he talks about how in the last days he's going to be able to shake up some stuff. Because we're in a shaking right now. I was letting one of the young men listen to those who pick up the YouTube channels. I had to hesitate. I was looking at something. It was YouTube channels. They were talking about on January the 16th, 2016, that it was a booming that was coming out all over the world. Nobody knew where the sound was coming from. The sound was heard through every peninsula, but it radiated out of New York. The man of God who just passed here, a great man of God, prophet, Kim Clement. I remember speaking with him in concert and being a part of some of his engagements, and how he spoke a prophetic word in 2015 that there will be a voice that's rain that's coming out of New York. Now, Hillary was out of New York, and Donald Trump is out of New York. Now, ever since Donald Trump took office, now I don't speak anything negative against anybody, but I'm trying to get you to see something. You respect the position that God allowed him to be in for what he's about to use him in the season that he's in. Now, I didn't vote for Donald Trump. Now, I was going to be open and say this, but I want to let you know I had a feeling in my heart, deep in my spirit, that he was going to win the election. And that day before that, the Lord had spoken to me and said, Donald Trump is going to win the election. And I said to myself, no. But God said, when I begin to move and do something, it's really more than what you can see. Let me show you something here. Let me take you guys to some scripture here. And I want you to see something, because Pastor Ellis is not going to say nothing to try to harm you in your vision, harm you in your thinking. I'm trying to get you to see some how when God moves, he moves totally different than what we feel he needs to move. See, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3 and 5, to lean not to our own, but acknowledge God in all his way. And he begins to direct our path. We go over to the book of Jeremiah 29:11. He talks about the thoughts and the plans that he got for us. They're good and not of evil. The expected future. A lot of prophets, a lot of pastors and teachers during the time of exile, a man of God went into the exile, but they wasn't harmed. They had to stay there until God began to do what he's going to do with the rebellious. Even when we look at the process over there in the book of Numbers, those men of God went out there, and because of their rebelliousness, God allowed them to go around the mountain so many times. But he raised up a generation that would hear his word. And that generation was the one who went into Deuteronomy. And when you look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, God began to speak a word to them. Don't you forget what happened to your forefathers. He said, lest you forget. He said, obey all my commands and all my statutes, all my precepts. God is really speaking a word on today in the season which we're in. He allowing this very situation that's going on with this election to be as it is, to be able to shake the nation and let them realize and understand it's not a man in regards to where we're headed. It's going to be him that take us where we're headed. Let me go over to the book of, I want you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah. I'm looking at the book of Isaiah, and I want to flip there, and I want to go to the book of Isaiah. I want you to look at with me Isaiah 55. In 11. Well, yeah, just 55 in 11. Let's go down to 55, 11. Matter of fact, before we go to 55, 11, let's all back up and let's look at the power of God, how he's always in control in everything that he do. And he speaks the word over here, and let's look at the book of Isaiah 55, and let's go down to the 8th verse, and let's look at something in the 8th verse. He talks about, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Now, right there, God puts a separation between men and him as being God. You don't have to go here, but I want you to really understand. I can speak it, but I'm going to want you to write it down. And then I want you to really look at the book over in Numbers 23:19-21. And then when you look at the numbers, the book of Numbers 23:19-21, he says of it that he's not a God that he should lie. And he's not a son of any man that he's had to repent. He's become a commander of the blessed, and he cannot reverse it. But I want you to hold that, because I'm going to jump somewhere, and I want you to jump back how to just to solidify this word and bring how God speaks a word in a revelatory time, and he means it. When God says something, he says his word will not go back. It's going to do what he designed it to do. When we think about the book of Numbers 23:19-21, he said, am I a God? Notice how he separates himself from human understanding and wisdom. And we're going to take something over, look at the book of Corinthians also, but we want to make sure that what we're listening to right now, how God is speaking prophetic speech by the very things that are in place, how he's warning the people about the way the world is in chaos, that he's about to shake some stuff. And when he's shaking, he's going to shake and loose everything that's not like God. And I'm telling you, those who are in position will remain. Those who are not in position, you're going to see the very uproars, not in terms of chaos, but you're going to see some very shaking that's going on in the kingdom, in the city, or the land in which we're in. The word of God says over there, when he says in the verse 8 of Isaiah 55, he said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Now, this is what the Lord, he said the Lord. He didn't say anybody else. He said the Lord. Now, he goes on and says this. He said, for as the rain come down, he gives a really powerful illustration in verse 11 and how he comes back and solidifies it in verse, where he gives a powerful illustration in verse 10 of Isaiah 55 and 10. And he comes back and really gives the impact of what his word is over in the area of Isaiah 55 and 11. Now listen at verse 10. For as the rain come down and the snow from heaven, and runneth not thither, look, returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth bud. That word, notice how the word of God says, bud, and it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Let me show you something here. I want y'all to lose me here. I want you to go with me. I want you to look over in the area of Thessalonians. I want to look at Thessalonians here for a minute. You know, I think God got in position just what he needs to have in position on tonight. I want to look at the book of Thessalonians. I believe it's in 5. And I want to look at Thessalonians 5. And I want to look at something here. Now, y'all stay with me here. He says that he talks about the penetrating word. He said that but of the times of the season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Now, I want you to understand what he's saying, because he's already given you information upon revelation about how he shouldn't have to continue to keep talking to you. He goes over in the book of Romans, that we say the Romans 10:17, he talks about the hearing, the hearing, the understanding, that God is constantly speaking in the season which you're in, but they're not listening. They're not hearing what the word of God say. Thessalonians tells us, I should not have to keep on writing to you and dealing with you on things I told you over and over again. He says in verse 2 of Thessalonians 5, he said, for you, brother, know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. He makes it very clear. Now, ain't no sense of us looking at it to say we don't understand when this thing's going to happen. When you look at it in the Amplified Version, he said, for you yourselves know perfectly, and we do, well, that the day of returning of the Lord will come. Look, he said, unexpectedly and suddenly as a thief in the night. Now, we're going back over back over to Isaiah, and we look at Isaiah, and he makes the word again. He solidified his word, say his word is guaranteed by as the rain and the snow come down, and even as they bring forth bread to the eater, which is the word of God. If you believe and declare and decree that God got a word to go forth and it will not come back void, then we understand what he's saying in Romans, in Numbers 23:19-21, that he's not a God that he should not lie, and he's not a son of any man that he should have to repent. He said his word is just as strong as a physical understanding of how the rain falls from earth, and it doesn't evaporate. It don't go backwards. And how it really brings forth to give you information to bring seed, not in the physical, but in the spiritual. God's word waters you to get you to understand for the incoming times that's taking place on today, right now. And he goes over in Isaiah 55:11, and he makes it very clear about how he illustrates this, about his word. It's a serious word. He says, so forth the words that go forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto you what void, but it will, or it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. Now, all we got to do is go back to the book of Genesis and understand that everything God predicted and said and spoke out of his mouth came to fruition. Now, the word of God says he speaks through the Spirit. Now, but as he's speaking through the Spirit, he talks about the rebellion seed in the area of us as being man and woman of God, and how we all once walked the course of the world. And even as his son came to down the cross, that we all may have the right to the tree of life and have forgiveness of mercy and grace, we have to realize and understand that we all are without, not we all are without, we're not fault. We all got something that took place in our life. But he's telling us, don't worry about that. He said in Romans 6, should you continue to keep sinning? Romans chapter 6 tells us that. Should you continue to keep sinning that now grace abounds? The word of God says, certainly not. Well, the word of God also said, how can you sin any longer knowing that I put a buffer in place for you, a perpetuation for your sins? Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, that now you've been ignorant, that he says in the book of Galatians. And Galatians makes it very clear in Galatians 3, he calls them fools. This is Paul writing when he came and spoke to the people of Galatia for dealing with false doctrine to the minds and the hearts of the people. But I know Pastor Us is moving a lot of places with you, but I want you to get to see and understand that in the season in which we're in, God has come up with revelatory information about how he wants us to be aware that even when we go back to the book of Luke chapter 9, around chapter 12, I believe Oscar Walker, Apostle Oscar Walker out of Houston, Texas, with us on the line. He talked to us. He talked about how the word of God, when Jesus is actually going into the certain region of land, and in Luke chapter 12, he said, look, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They are modern day Pharisees. Jesus said, beware of them because of the hypocrisy. Now, all of us know that every election, there's always a lot of hypocrisy going on. And I think already in this time with the election, the way it is, this man has been caught already with so many numbers of times by words he said that he went back on. But I'm just telling you how God is allowing this to take place. Not because he's angry with the earth, because he wants to get things right with us. God doesn't want us to perish. He don't want us to leave here without understanding who he is. And if he got to bring something against us, not to hurt us, but to get us to wake up, he's going to do it in a position before we actually fade away. The word of God talks about how heaven and hell, everything will pass away, but his word will not pass away. In the season in which we're in, Paul brings that word over to the people in the book of Galatians. He said, look, who has bewitched you over in Galatians 3? He said, O Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whom I, as Jesus, who has evidently set forth and crucified among you. Now, they knew the work he done. They knew that the process when they came and got him out of the garden and began to take him over to Pontius Pilate's place, and they began to let go the criminal, which was Barabbas, before they let Christ go. And then Barabbas washed his hands. You know, the dream from Barabbas, or not Barabbas, but from Pilate's wife, said, don't touch this man of God. He is something from God. And then Pilate says, I'm through with him. Take him. You crucify him. Y'all want to deal? Y'all deal with him. So you remember they led him to the skull down Golf, and they began to crucify him on the cross. You know, the earthquakes came, and the word of God declares that spirits came witnessing everywhere about the power of God. And so forth on. We're going to read about the book of, you know, you can go everywhere and we talk about this, how Jesus reappeared and showed up to them over there in the book of John 21, and they was out there fishing. And God never designed, Jesus never designed them to go back doing what he pulled them from. Because I know I'm just everywhere, but I'm trying to bring a point to you. Yeah, this information is leading to a lot of things that's going on in earth today. That even the word of God declares, he's about to shake the earth. When we read over in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews tells you over in the book of Hebrews, and he makes all of these things, all the words I just told you, it all comes in the fullness. If you read it and you study it and you interpret it, you'll see what God is speaking in the season which we're in. The word of God comes over in the book of Hebrews in the 23rd chapter. He's talking about now it's time for us not to be scattered, for us to gather together as being one. Matter of fact, it says in Hebrews 12 and 23, he said, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God the judge, and the spirit of just man made perfect. Pay attention to this. And Jesus the mediator in the new covenant, and the blood that's sprinkled with better things than that of Abel. Listen to what he's saying. See that you not refuse not him that speaketh. He's talking about the prophets he got on earth now. We go back to the book of Luke. We talk about the rich man. But let's finish this out. He says over in the 25th verse, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Now, we look at the book of Amos 3 and 7. For those who turn there, the word of God say, I don't bring a word into land as that's revealed to his prophets. God's got men down here today speaking and letting you know that it's a change coming. There's a shaking that's coming. He goes on in the 25th verse. He said, see that you not refuse him that speaketh. For if you escape not, who refuses him that speaketh on earth, much more should we not escape him if he turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Now I want to make sure I get this right, because I know I staggered on that, but I want to make sure I get the implements of what I'm saying here. See that you as being man, woman, God, do not disobey the people of God in permanent place to warn you before the very things is about to take place. We go right back over in the book of Isaiah. We go right back over in the book of Thessalonians. And he told you how he will come like a thief in the night. We know this already. We've been hearing this throughout all the scriptures. It's a time for a reckoning. God is not just talking anymore. He's acting. He's moving on his spirit. He says once again, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Who is he speaking of and not speaking? God sent forth his son. As God sent forth his son, he sent them as a representation of him that speak. That's what the Father has designed him to do here on earth. Y'all hold your place right there. Hold your place right there in the 25th verse of Hebrews and 12. Let's look at something over here once again. Let's go to the book. Let's take our Bibles and let's go to the book of John. And I'm going to show you how God really sent forth his son to represent the work that he put in him. And Jesus declared with no kind of point to saying that I am the man with all my chains in my pockets, with all my long telatropies, with rings on my finger. And I don't care if you got chains in your pockets, rings in your finger, names, arches, and all that. If you ain't moving by the Spirit, then they don't really mean anything to Christ. Not that a chain can do anything, or a rope in your pocket, or a ring on your finger, or a name. It can do anything. You can have all that chains you want. But that's not going to change God and what he said he's going to do in his word. God wants men after his heart. Now, when we go back over here, and I want to serve me right, we look at the book of, it comes in Isaiah 55 and 11. He said his word is a forwarding word in Isaiah 55, 11. The words that come out of his mouth, they're not voided. They're cashing words. They're happening. He said his word would not go, he said it would not go back void, but the accomplishment of what he's speaking is already in the land. God spoke these things in the times that he proved his word than when he looked in the book of Genesis. He said, look, the earth was out void. Nothing was on the face of the earth. God spoke his word out of darkness, and it came to fruition. Am I talking to somebody? How real and powerful God's word is. Hebrews talk about the sharpness of God's word, the power of God's word, how it's quick and it's sharp. Then any two-edged sword is able to cut the very soul and sinner of any man. That's the spirit of man. So your soul has got to go to the, your soul goes in a hole, but your spirit goes back to Christ. Did y'all understand that? Your soul goes in the hole. Your physical goes in the hole, but your spirit goes back to Christ. Let me explain to you about that. When Jesus, when God declared the word that when he created man from the dust of the earth, and we all know that God didn't go up to the dust but one time to create man. He didn't go twice. He only created one time, and he created a woman out of the rib of the man. That when the man was created, according to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he talks about the two resurrections of man in his creation. The first was him being made from the dust of the earth. The second is when Christ blowed the spirit into him. And then what was the word of God said? Then man became a living what? Soul. Take the spirit away, you're nothing but a soul. You're just laying there. He said man just lies there. And then God breathed breath into his nostrils. And then man became a living soul. Once you leave here, you go back to dust. But your soul is going to the ground, but your spirit has got to stand in account to the work that you've done here on earth. Let me move here because I want to make sure we get an accurate information on what we're speaking about in this area of the book of Rome. I mean, the book of Hebrews, because the book of Hebrews says in the 25th verse once again, see that you refuse not him that speaketh his prophets who he sent forth, his son. Now, I slipped on one more because I don't want to overfluence and give you too much information here, but I want to go to one more before I actually look at this verse, and I'm going to read the 25th verse once again. See that you refuse him not that speaketh, for if you escape not him, refuse him that speaketh on earth, much more should you not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. You can fool the preachers and the pastors, the bishops and the apostles. You can get by with them, but remember, your soul and your spirit has got to answer. You're going to die to death. You're going to die to death. As sure as you're born, you're going to die. You're going to die. And I'm not speaking any gloom and doom on anybody, but you're going to die. The word of God says he sent forth his son to speak a word. His son represented him coming from the kingdom of God. What did his son do by representing him from the kingdom of God? He spoke a word. Go to the book of John. Let's move to the book of John right quick. St. John, the Gospels, and look at John 14. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14 says a very surprising and powerful word about how Jesus came fully and persuaded by what his Father had him to do. He says over in verse 10, in verse 4 of John 14, he said, believe it not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, don't refuse him. The words that I speak unto you are not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. He does the work. What does the word of God say? Greater than he does in you, he's in the world. Jesus came in the physical form and showed you what the power of your spirit has got the ability to do through him in the flesh. Jesus said, I'm going to show you this, how you can move with power and authority. I'm going to demonstrate to you by coming from my Father that if you be obedient and be willing, you will eat the good of the land. If you be obedient, God said it is nothing that he would hold for you. That's Psalms 84:11. Jesus declared once again, he came to represent the Father. You are made in the apple of God's eye. The Bible declares, according to the book of Luke over there in chapter 9, he said when he called his disciples together, he gave them power over all sickness and diseases. He gave them pure power. He wanted them to walk in the representation of what Jesus is declaring right here in verse 14. Believe it not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or believe me for the work's sake. He goes over in the verse 11 once again. He believe it not that I'm in the Father in me, or believe me for the work's sake. Jesus said, just watch my work. I ain't got to brag about who I am. That's what I'm saying. You ain't got to walk around with no chain in your pocket, you know, because you represent yourself by putting a cross on one side of your chest, or you got a certain ring on your finger, or you got a long robe. No, Jesus didn't have all that. Jesus represented himself as being the very process of coming to do the work from the Father who's in heaven. He didn't come to represent himself any other way other than gaining any kind of attention to himself. He said, all you need to do is watch my work. I don't need to say nothing else. Just watch my smoke. Watch the woman with the issue of blood. Watch Peter's mother. Watch Blind, Blomman, and Bayless. Watch the people, the 10 lepers. Well, just watch. Watch the woman with the history of blood. Just watch. Just watch my smoke. I don't need no name. I don't need no title. That's why Jesus declared the word right there. Believe it that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. Unless believe me for the work's sake. The Father in me, and I'm going to guarantee you and show you that what he put in me is far more greater than you can imagine and understand. God wants you to realize and understand that even when he speaks the word in 1 Corinthians, in the second chapter, in the 8th verse, he tells us those people didn't know who they was killing. But Jesus declares to come right back in the word. Paul speaks that word right back, and he says the word over in 1 Corinthians over there, that 9th verse, over the second chapter, 9th verse. He said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it even entered in the heart of any flesh the thing that God has in store for them that love him. Jesus makes that word very clear. If you believe that the power you possess by being a son of God or a child of God or a woman of God, they can watch your work. The Bible says signs, wonders, and miracles will follow them that believe. Jesus breaks out the very word in the book of John over in John 14 to 12. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Go back to Luke 9. Greater works that you may do. Jesus came and gave his disciples power. Luke 1 and 8. Stay in Jerusalem. Matter of fact, Acts 1 and 8. Stay in Jerusalem until I endow you with power from on high. You got to understand, you got to stay still, that the plan God got for you, according to Jeremiah 29:11, is really more than what you can see. For only I know the thoughts and the plans that I got for you. They are good and not of evil. There's expectation of the future through obedience. And Jesus declares that and shows us right in John 14. He said, all you got to do is watch my smoke. I'm not coming out here to be nothing other than what I'm represented to be. And that's to be ambassador, the immaculate conception, to prove to you that the work can be done. Paul came and done just closer to the work as he could do. Paul came closer than anybody, walking in the perfect will of God, in the power of God. Wrote half of the Bible. The word of God speaks over in there in the book of John 14, in the 13th verse. He said, and whosoever you should ask in my name, whatever, this is when you're walking in obedience, whatever you should ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Did y'all catch that? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. He came to prove that the works he's doing through his Father, that when you speak and declare and ask that it's performed, then he will say, wow, they believe in my Son. But the works I put in him. So if they believe in him, then they believe on me. So now if they believe in him, then greater works what they will do. Signs, wonders, and miracles follow those believers. Jesus goes back. Matter of fact, Paul goes back. What the book of Hebrews? He goes back in the book of Hebrews. He speaks over here in the 26th, in the book of Hebrews, in the 12th chapter, in the 26th verse. He says, whose voice then shook the earth, but now has promised, saying, yet once more, I will not shake the earth only, but the heavens. He's going to shake some stuff. He said, in this word, yet once more signifies the removal of those things that are not shaken as of the things that are made, the things that are made, that those things which are not made, that are not, but which are not shaken may remain. Let me read that again to you. This word yet signifies once more removal of those things that are shaken. Anything that's not like God is going to be shaken or loose. And of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. That's God's word. The Bible says his word will not go void. He said in Isaiah 55:11, it will not go back void, but it will accomplish. The Bible speaks over in the 28th verse of Hebrews 12. He said, where you receive a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we serve God, listen, freely, acceptably. He gives you invitation every day, acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. For God is a consuming fire. He's speaking. He's letting us know. There's a registration that's taking place. And it's not going to attain anything that's shakable. In other words, anything that's loose and coming in and half cocked and not believing, God, I can't roll with it. You know, because even as believers, we barely make it in. The Bible said filthy, that flesh and blood will not even enter into the kingdom of God. He talks about our soul. But even as he talks about our soul, he gives us the replenishment, the understanding that we can be transformed and changed. We can be dealt with. Even though our trespasses and sins are what the word, God said, I can still forgive you for all that the enemy tried to hold against you. Because I'm not going to let you be a spectacle, knowing that I sent my son down to die for the remission of all your sins. He makes it in the book of Ecclesiastes, what not Ecclesiastes, in the book of, my wife spoke about this, in the book of Ephesians. He said that that you have quickened when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. This is Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 1. He said, you were quickened when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. When times past, you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that worketh now in the children of disobedience, among whom you also all in our past conversations, in times past, in lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and in the mind, whether we are nature were children of wrath. We was all messed up. Romans told us that. He just told us that. Romans told us in Romans 3. He said, we all fallen short. Ain't nobody perfect, but we've all been handed a measure according to the book of Hebrews. God is the mediator between all that. He comes to free you for whatever is going to stop you from being a part of this assembly. Repent, 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 as John said. For now the kingdom of God really is at hand. This thing that's taking place that we're dealing with right after this election, y'all ain't seen nothing yet. Before this exchange takes place, before him going to Oval Office, there's a shift that's going to take place. There's a moving and a rumbling that's already in place. It's raining, but we don't see it. And he's warning us every day. There's a shifting taking place. There's a warning that's in the body of Christ. Jesus declares the word again, and he speaks the power of God's word over in the book of Ephesians to those of Ephesus. He says once again in the verse 2 of chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, he said, where in the past times we walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit is now working the children of disobedience. Listen to what he says. Among whom you all had conversations in past times with lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And well, by nature, we all was children of wrath. We all had spicy language. We all had spicy thoughts. We all did spicy things. Am I in there? But God said, he sets high and look low. The word of God says it right here in the book of Ephesians 4. But God, who is rich in his mercy and grace, love wherewith we loved us, and we were dead in our sins, has quickened us together with Christ. This is what he says. By grace, you are saved. It's the grace that's going to save you, and deliver you out of whatever it is that's in your life. It's caused you to fall subject to the enemy in all types of ways. He come at you all kind of ways. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. He comes all kind of ways. Even as we get the hundreds of people that come on this radio station, there's always going to be a few. It's always going to be a few that's going to disapprove of what the true word of God is that's coming forth. Because most people don't want to see you blossom. They don't want to see you come up. They want to hold you at bay. And they want to, as long as they can keep their feet on your neck, as long as they can hold you down, they got you. But you got to understand, you speak an uncompromising word. And you got to believe with uncompromising wisdom that you're a man or woman of God that's moving into infinity in wherever you are in. God is a consuming fire. Am I God that I should lie? Or am I the son of any man that I should have to repent? I'm always opening up the line for discussions for those who have an ear to hear. And hear what the word of God has to say concerning the kingdom of God. Y'all got enough turkey and pie and y'all run it off in the name of Jesus. But remember to call in the studio on this afternoon, which is Friday, 516-387-1220. Once again, 516-387-20. It's always an opportunity for you guys to, hey, look, Pastor Ellis, what about this? What about that? What do you foresee it? All I'm telling you is you got to walk in the Spirit. Galatians tells us that in the book of Galatians 5. Walk in the Spirit that you not fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh. There's a fight that's going on with the flesh and the Spirit, but you got to be wise enough to understand and realize These things are coming at me are nothing but temporal designs to try to pull me out of the will of God. My anger, my attitude, my circumstance, my situation. You got to examine yourself. You got to really believe that God did not come for you to have a miserable life, but he come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. There's somebody dealing with some things, even as we speak. I can feel it in the spirit. And I'm not just calling people. I say, he's saying this and saying, I'm not just fishing. We all deal with some things in our life to the point that we understand we don't know what's going on in our life. And sometimes the enemy comes and he just keep on whooping us, hitting, knocking us about, just hitting us beside the head. And we complain about the knots in our head. And God said, man, look, all you got to do is ask. You know, I'm a delivering God. I'm a transferring God. We got a call to come in from 832. Yeah, I think it's the man of God, Mr. Stredick. Always on the line with us, and that God bless you, man of God. You're in there. You can go ahead. You're on the mic. Amen. He's got his hand up in there, but I'm receiving him in.
How you doing, Pastor?
Okay, I hear your voice now. I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I have my phone on. I have my phone muted, but yeah, I'm listening, and you know, I always tell you, when you get to moving, you get to moving fast, you know, and and today is one of those days. I have my Bible up. I have the Gideon's book with me. I have the Gideon's book open, and I have the King James Version. So I'm flipping through both of them, and I'm listening, you know, and I'm listening, and it's like I'm battling with a lot of those things, and you know, the anger, the language at times, you know, the attitude part. And as I was flipping with you back and forth to from John to Ephesians to Thessalonians to Isaiah, as I was flipping, it's like God led me. It's like I stopped the Gideon's Bible at James. Because I guess it's like that's something God want to show me, because James talk about the tongue and you know. So it's like I'm listening to what you're saying, and I know it's a lot of stuff that I need work on, but it's crazy to me because I know a lot of these things, and I still have problems with them.
Yeah, this is when God tells us, this is what we said, the Bible said that these things only come by fasting and praying. When you deal with issues in your life and it seems like they're still there, I'm praying, but they get there. It's like a person who says, okay, I got a brake job, but I don't need just brakes. I need an overhaul. I just put brake pads on it, but it's more than just the brake pads. I need rotors and everything. And that's when you begin to understand about fasting and praying. God said, just get up to me and give me a special prayer. He said, these things only come by fasting and praying. That means I got to be able to give up. To get up. In other words, God said, okay, if you can fast and clear your mind of all these things that's bombarding you, and then give me the opportunity to do your worship, why you fast with me, and then seek me first. Just tap into me, and I'll show you things. Paul speaks about that process, that eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard. Well, all of these things come through your fasting and praying, trusting God in the midst that my way seem to be too good, so I got to try another way. So God said, have you tried fasting? Have you tried praying? I mean, really, really fasting, you know, and really while I'm fasting, you know, I really want to get this thing off of me. You know, fasting is one of the biggest things that you can clear. Now, don't get me wrong. I want you to get this mixed up. Fasting, hear me out when I say this. Fasting and not knowing what to fast for is no good. Because, see, it's just like baptism. You can go in the pool with a dragon, but the wet one, if you don't have any significance about what baptism is all about. It really is an opportunity for you signalizing your life with Christ. Some people go in the water and come back up the next day, they're out cussing somebody out. And you get people excuse talking about, well, you know, you walk with God, you know the devil gonna come at you. No, that's his excuse. When you really understand that you made a commitment with Christ, you'd be just like Apostle Paul when he came out the road to Damascus. He said he didn't confront with flesh and blood. He went straight to Arabia. because of the things he knew were going to come at him. Really, when you think about it, Paul, it really would have been suicide if Paul would have went back to the people he persecuted. Did that make sense? You've been a brother that's out there that's been in the streets and hung out and done things and deal with stuff. You're going to beat me down and you're going to come back and you're going to talk with me, huh? Now, we're going to get you. It really do. I mean, think truly. I mean, you can bust me in my jaw and then it's all good. Now, you're going to get one back. Because when you know, when something's in your life and you know you can't get rid of it, it's like people who have arguments with their family. And somebody got to make a first move. And in the midst of you saying something, you said something that was really bad and that you can't take back. That takes you to be able to go and fast and pray to God to give you the kind of words you say. Because physically thinking, man, I said this, they ain't going to forgive me. They ain't going to forgive me. You know what I mean? Paul spoke the same. He felt the same thing. Man, I done dragged these people out and killed their husband, killed their kids. But they didn't understand those people had the Spirit of God. There's a church in the way. There's bread and bread to forgive. Jeremiah talks about that. Don't come into this house with all that bickering and crying. Amend your ways and your doings. Don't be talking about your brothers and sisters. If you truly forgive, honestly obey the word of God, God will give you the time you need to say the people who you are wrong. He'll give you what you need to say. He really wants you to clear your plate. So when we pray to God and we ask God, Lord, you know, it don't seem to be working out. It don't seem to be working out. God said, because he told you back in Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts, your thoughts, my ways, your ways. If you sincerely seek God, if you sincerely believe and declare that God is a God that makes ways out of no way, then whatever it is you may have had the conflict with or dealing with physically, God said, I can remove that from you. Just like we talked about one time on a certain occasion that now there's things you don't have a desire for no more. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I don't have a desire for no more now that I come into Christ Jesus. Will it happen overnight? No, it's not going to happen overnight. You can't go down the street traveling 80 miles an hour and somebody jump in front of your car and you think it's going to stop right in there. You know, the process of learning Christ comes with a long skid mark. It lets you remember where you come from, about how you applied the brakes. And then it really makes you check yourself to know that, hey, look, I'm tired of sliding. And I'm going to slide right into the wrong thing if I do this yet again. It's just luckily God stopped me here. I could have been killed, but God stopped me enough. And if I look back over my life and see where I come from, God, I really got to fast. What is it you want me to do? Where is it you want me to go? How can I become more intimate with you? How can I fall in love with you but to fall in love with anybody else? We're so quick to fall in love with houses, things, cliques, club titles, and positions, but we don't want to fall in love with Christ. We don't want to go to bed with him. We don't want to take him out to dinner. We don't want to sit in the close place with him and romance and be with him. You know what I mean? We don't want to do that. We don't want to do the spirit like that. We already got to have some physical around us. But God said, when you fall in love with me, you fall in love with your blessings. When you fall in love with your blessings, I'll deliver you from everything that plagues you. It's not enough just to quote the words and go to church. You got to be what they say, about it. And when you step into an arena or a place that you know who you are and who you are, doesn't matter. Hell can be all around you. But I'm coming in the name of the Most High God. I'm coming in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to be some light that you can put on the bush. I'm a beacon system in the chaos of everything that's going on today. We got to be as Christians. We got to set up on a hill. Yeah, he may be there, but I got another president, and it's called King Jesus. And whatever is going on in my life, and whatever I'm dealing and fight with, he can take care of it. It's not a must you just get a whole bunch of inspirational things that make you feel good. And then you understand the word of God and go right back out there, and then the cares of the world steal it from you. I prayed today, but I'm cussing you out tomorrow. My mind hasn't been transformed and changed. I'm still dealing with issues and answers because I hadn't got a deep in relationship with Christ. When you fall in love with somebody God put in your life, and he said, when a man finds a good thing, when he finds a wife, he finds a good thing, Christ said the same thing about him. When you find me, you'll find your freedom out of every situation. When you date me more than you date the problem, then you'll find out that there's nothing impossible for me to do. Am I God that I still lie? Or am I son of any man that I should have to repent? The command has been given, and I cannot reverse it. So, man of God, it takes you to really get in the deep, intimate time with Christ. You know, the number for anybody who want to call in, you're available to call in. You know, the area code, as I said, is 516 387-1220. It's not about international flags. We can't get them in because of where they are. But all the other numbers is on the line is lit up. I know you guys are listening attentively, but I'm telling you, if it's a word that you're going to speak to help somebody, please don't hesitate to help them. If there's a word you need to help you, and that's one of the biggest things in the body of Christ, we're too shy, you know, about listening to what God said. That's one thing I like about you and some of the other guys that come online. Y'all really speak out. And some of the other women that come online, they speak out and let the people know. The old people say, you know, go ahead and shame the devil. Speak the truth and shame the devil. Tell him what you're dealing with. Tell him what you're going through. But he won't know that he got a hold on you, because he sure try to put one on you. And I mean, he'll try to hold you down. And you got to understand that, you know, he's beneath me. He has no power over me, because I serve a true God. So, man of God, it takes the fasting, the praying, getting intimate with God, getting away from a lot of things of distraction, and getting along with him on several occasions, like Abraham did with him. And God will give him direction, wisdom, and knowledge on how he should handle things. 516-387-1220. We're about to move off the line here. And we know we got our lines are flooded up. I know it's after the holidays. Some of y'all are sitting heavy on that turkey. But, you know, look, the line is open for those of you who want to call in. It's really up to you. And I don't want to, I'm not going to call anybody out today. But I think my beautiful wife is in the studio. And maybe she might want to push the button and be a part. She's always listening in attentively. She never usually gets in on with me that much, but she's listening in, and I'm going to let her make her choice on when she wants to come in, because I'm telling you, she's always got a powerful word that she had to say that's coming from the kingdom of God. But we're actually live here on a Blog Talk Internet radio program. I am Pastor Charles Ellis, and the number to call in once again is 516-387-1220. For those who want to be in contact with me, find out more information about me, send me, be a part of my my newsletter. You can send in your information to harvestnlc@gmail.com. And actually on our Monday nights, you can hear the beautiful woman of God, co-pastor Patty Ellis, is always bringing the word at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here from Harvest and Light Studios and Harvest and Light Church. And she's on the line, and she's always got something she has to say. God bless you, woman of God.
You mentioned something. God bless you. God bless everybody, and thank you for tuning in. But you had mentioned something about living by the Spirit in Galatians, and how, you know, really this time, we're really, as followers of Christ, we have to live by the Spirit in order to be able to discern what's out there, as we get pulled so many different ways. And for those of you that are, you know, that really struggle, you know, especially sometimes at the holidays, they just seem to be, I don't know, a little more stressful to people. When is the time that we should come together and to just be joyful and really to understand what the season is about. But we have to get to that quiet place with the Lord in order to strengthen the bond that we have with God. And the way that you live by the Spirit is you have to commune with the Lord. You have to get to that quiet place. You have to get into the Word of God in order to just have that, you know, that peace as we go through the struggle in our life. We all have those. As long as we're in this world, then we're going to have some struggles. And when we get, there's no other peace but then peace with God. And in order to get strength in that, you have to just really be proactive to have that relationship with them. And not only that, just to tune into the Word of God. Get into a place, get into these programs to just strengthen your wisdom, you know, the spiritual wisdom that only God can give you. And we just encourage you all out there that may be struggling, and those that are maybe even more mature in the Lord, just come together with us. You know, just listen to the Word of God. What is God telling us? What is God telling you individually? And the more that you get into and listen to the Word of God and to listen to the prophetic messages that are coming forth, that's really what strengthens us.
Amen.
And I just wanted to just throw that nugget in there.
Amen. God bless you, woman of God. You know, she talked about, let me kind of pull her mic here, but she's going to be, I know she got Marcella with her. You hear some, rah, 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 rah. But But, you know, she talked about the book of Galatians. Everything that I spoke on tonight, you know, the process of dealing with the from Galatians to John, the Hebrews, it's a spiritual walk. You know, I was talking to a great man of God, Prophet Eric Maui out of India, and I hope I got his name right, Prophet. Maui went out of India. And he would say, Lord, he said, Pastor Ellis, what is the Spirit of the Lord saying to you? What is it saying to you? And the Holy Spirit really dropped in my spirit, and it's been all week. He keep on saying, walk in the Spirit. You can't conquer nothing without the Holy Spirit. You know, my wife spoke about being aware of one of the messages in the book of Hebrews, not with the book of Ephesians. And they talk about how being aware, how to, you know, that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. Notice what he's saying. Spiritual wickedness in high places. There's something to come in to try to conquer you. It's always going to be shooting arrows at you. The word of God said the kingdom of God suffers violence. But violence is taken by force. But you really got to understand the power and the self-worth that's within you. You don't realize and understand that when the enemy comes at you like a flood, the word of God is the standard. It's the standard. Because if you know how water flows, it covers. And the same thing is the word of God when he speaks over Psalms 91. Matter of fact, Psalms 91 makes it so strong. He makes it very clear about that he that dwelleth in the secret place. And that's a place that Christ has for each and every one of us. For those who join in and be a part of what he wants to do in the season with you in. Y'all know y'all out there. I'm not gonna push y'all buttons, but I'm going to push a lot of y'all buttons because I want you guys to be able to come in and speak things on your own. If the word of God is touching you in such a way and you have something to share with the thousands of people that's out there listening, then do that. But he talks about he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. There's an abiding that you got to be in the intimacy with. Abiding means to be intimate with under his might, under his power, under his might, as I say. You know, and I will say the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God in him I will trust. Surely he will deliver me. Every snare, every foul, every nuisance peddler that try to come against you, the word of God covers you like feathers. He keeps you. He's not going to let you stay naked because he loves you. He cares for you. We come down to the end of our show. I know we still got a couple of hands raised in the audience, and I don't want to check them before I dismiss them. But I know Anthony's hand is still up. I don't know if he took some of these, but I don't know if he wanted to have something else to say, but his hand was still up in the audience.
Hello.
But your hand was still up out here, so I want to make sure.
I didn't push the button. I didn't push the button, but I really wanted to tell you that I'm feeling a lot better too. You know, the cough what we was talking about like last week, I think, or earlier this week, yeah. It's got a whole lot better. You know, God is good. Amen. God is good. I feel like I'm coming back to my normal, my regular self. Thanks mm-hmm. to God. You know, so I didn't push the button though, but I thought since you called me out like that, I just had to say that.
You gonna call me out like that? I'm gonna put you back out, man. But we will let you guys know. Look, it's a pleasure for you guys to join us on the night. Now I ain't gonna click on 504. I know, no, they out there, but they gotta be able to vote. I'm not gonna initiate them. They might not have anything to say. 829-766-583. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Even 12. 1, 2, 3, 8, 7, but I'm going to leave y'all alone. Y'all want to be kind with y'all pie and y'all turkey, and I'll go ahead and be that way. But y'all fine. You know, we're just glad you had the opportunity to tune in with us on this afternoon to hear what the Word of God has to say that's coming from the King. We got the Christmas holidays coming up. We want to make sure we understand what it's all about. You know, we got people that just represent Christmas. You know, they just say happy holidays. No, it's about the death, burial, and really the birthday of someone who gave us right to have this tree of life. And that's Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's who it's ever has been about. It's about him. You know, so it was about the celebrations. I heard a man of God say, somebody cut down a tree and start worshiping it. Put some lights on it. And it became a god. Now, gift giving is good. But make sure you're giving the right gift. And that's the gift of life. But God bless you guys for joining here at Harvest and Light Church and Harvest and Light Studio. It's truly a pleasure for you guys being with us on this afternoon. We want to thank God for you It's always enjoyable to be with you guys. Don't y'all eat too much, all right? And hey, look, until next Thursday. Remember, we had to switch off of our Thursday because of Thanksgiving, and we came back with this Friday to make up for that because it's time in the studio. So we love you guys. We care about you guys. Look, don't forget to join us on Tuesday, testimony. I know you guys got some testimonies coming up, but it's going to be a pleasure to be with you guys and enjoy you guys. Until then, we love you guys, and we're praying for you guys. Until then, God bless you.